Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to David Benjamin Citron's Transform Your Life in 30 Minutes. We have a fantastic show for you today. It's going to be all about the fear of failure. Someone contacted me after the last show, and they specifically wanted this topic dealt with. They specifically wanted to have some sort of approach which could allow them to overcome this issue. So I want you to ask yourself, is this something that is of relevance to you? Is this something that holds you back in your life in some way? Let me go through some symptoms of the fear of failure. Lots of different ones. Reluctance to try new things. Self-sabotage. Self-deprecation. Perfectionism. All of these things are typical of someone who has a deep fear of failure. And, you know, it's always on a spectrum. Different people have it to different extents. But, you know, where does it come from? It can come from a number of different things. In a lot of cases, it can come from parents. When someone is growing up and parents connect achievement and moving forward to love. And that's the only sense of love that the child gets, then that can cause someone to have this fear of failure. Also, if someone's been embarrassed, if someone feels very embarrassed in a situation where they've deemed that they've failed in some way, that can cause the person to get into this fear of failure mentality. And what is the fear of failure really? Fear of failure is really a fear of yourself. It's really a fear of yourself. How is that? You're afraid of how you're going to treat yourself after this perceived failure. After what you perceive as a fail in your life, and however you define that, and that's going to be very important here, after that, how are you going to treat yourself, and will you be able to live with yourself? Ultimately, it comes down to feelings, because we don't do things for things. We do things for feelings. In a positive sense, when we're aiming towards a goal, we don't aim towards the goal in order to get that goal itself. We want to have the feeling that that goal brings about for us. So whether it's making lots of money or creating a connection to God or giving lots of charity or having some relationship in your life, enhancing that relationship, you want the feeling that you're going to get when you have that connection. And in the same way, in the negative, fear of the bad feeling, fear of the bad feeling is going to be exactly what a person is afraid of when it comes down to fear of failure. Fear of that bad feeling that you might engender for yourself. What is that bad feeling you might engender for yourself and create for yourself based on the meaning that you have given the situation? You're looking at a particular instance and saying, this is a fail. There's something wrong here. I've done something wrong, and therefore, in some way, that can lead to a sense of lack of worthiness. And that's the connection there with the parents, as I mentioned before, which can sometimes be the case. But this can come from many other places as well. And it can come from a conversation with oneself, which has come maybe from things that you're looking about in terms of society. You know, you've heard about what is success and what is failure, and you feel in a sense of comparison, you feel not so good. You don't feel good at all about how you compare to others. So what is failure and what is success? In order to conquer this, one has to actually change the meaning to change the feeling. That's a really important point here. And if you've got a pen on you, take that down. In order to change your feelings, you change the meaning that you attach to something. And I'm not just talking about changing things on a superficial level. We want to go really deep here. We want to go to a place where literally you're going to change the very fabric of how you see this. A lot of the success and failure definitions out there lead to feelings of whether or not, a lot of it is connected to whether someone is, you know, superficially looking good. They've got lots of money, or they've got like relationship that looks really good on the outside. A lot of these things that are definitions that are out there, a huge amount typically given by advertising is that if you have this product and you drive this thing and you have these men or women who look this way around you, then you are a success and therefore you look good. And if you don't, then you look bad and therefore you should feel bad. And this product will help you feel good. And all of those pieces of information stack up in a person's mind. And we have to constantly be the guardians to our minds. We have to constantly be the guardians of our eyes and ears and filter through exactly what it is that we really believe about what success is and what failure is. You know, Shakespeare said, there is nothing either good or bad in the world, but thinking makes it so. It's how we think about something that creates the meaning. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. That's powerful. That puts all of the power of the situation into your own hands. That gives you, that empowers you to take control of your life. And if the pictures and the images and the definitions in your head of success and failure are those that are going to bring you towards pain, towards, you know, looking good or looking bad, then there's going to be a problem. So Lou Brock once said, show me a guy who's afraid to look bad and I'll show you someone who can be beat every time. Show me a guy who's afraid to look bad and I'll show you someone who can be beat every time. If we are entirely focused on this idea of looking bad or looking good, then there's going to be a real issue there. So we have to go much deeper. Instead of looks, we need to look with success and failure at definitions that are going to go much deeper and help us connect on a much deeper level to something which is going to compel us forward. And we need to find that why in the first session in the premiere broadcast to Transform Your Life in 60 Minutes, I talked about finding the why. Finding the why that is going to help you move forward. Finding the why that is going to help you create reason and a dynamic in yourself in order to move forward. And the why here needs to be always something, no matter what it is that you're going for, no matter what that specific, inspiring, and realistic goal is that you're going for, that why needs to be something which is to do with the two G's. And the two G's are growth and giving. Because there's just two things which are going to provide you with sustained happiness, with a sustained sense of fulfillment in life, a sustained sense of joy in life. And those are giving and growth. If you haven't got growth and giving as the ultimate purpose for what you're doing, then ultimately it's going to just lead to some of these more superficial definitions. And ultimately, you're going to be more vulnerable to having the pull down in terms of feeling bad and not wanting to engage in anything further because it's just basically involving pain. And when it's pain without a meaning, as we'll talk about a bit later, when it's pain without meaning, then there's a problem. Pain on its own is suffering. Pain without meaning is suffering. But pain with meaning is growth. Pain with meaning is growth and helps you move forward. And if everything that you do, you got to ask yourself, everything that I'm going for in my life right now, everything that I'm looking towards, everything that I'm looking to aim towards, everything that I'm looking to achieve in my life, how can I make this in my mind about growth and giving? It's there somewhere. There, you've had these concepts about growth and giving in the past, and they might be in the present as well, but it's about what you're focusing on. If 99% of what you're focusing on is to do with the growth and the giving, then that's going to be the central reasoning of what it is that you're doing. But if it's mixed in with lots of other different ideas and you're focusing more on those those ideas and you're affected more by, we really have our, you know, we're fighting a battle at the moment. We're fighting a battle in order to hold on to meaning in our lives. And because there are so many outside elements that are really trying to show us what is important to us before we've even decided ourselves, we need to fight really hard to keep the focus on growth and giving. We need to fight really hard to really try and be connected with growth and giving. And that's going to be so important. We've got to ask ourselves, how can I give the most value to the most people? If you're giving, if you're focused on giving the most value to the most people, whether it's in business or it's in your family life, you're going to start finding that good things come back to you. Good things will start coming back to you if you're focusing on that. And that's going to be powerful for you, really powerful for you. As soon as you stay with this idea of value, what am I giving? How can I give? And you know, there's an example of this. There's a guy called Reid Hoffman. And Reid Hoffman's an interesting case because he was a guy who created Facebook before Facebook came along. He was a guy who created something called socialnet.com. And SocialNet, unfortunately, was literally an idea before its time, and therefore it failed. It was the right idea at the wrong time. And people just didn't get it. People just didn't connect with it. It just didn't happen. It didn't move forward. Reid Hoffman had to move on to something else. And he then went and he worked with PayPal, and then he created something which most people know about nowadays, LinkedIn. He is the creator of LinkedIn. And we need to take a look at what was his psychology that allowed him to move on. Because if Reid Hoffman had just been focusing on, you know, how am I going to make money? Or how am I going to, you know, look good? How am I going to do something that, you know, other people are going to go, wow, that's really cool, amazing, you know, how am I going to look good? Then that's going to be a problem. He would not have moved on from SocialNet because the pain of looking bad after failing would have been too much. It would have been like, well, my whole point here was to look good, and now I'm looking bad. Now I'm going to retract from any movement forward. I'm not going to try anymore because I keep getting this pain. But instead, he moved on to PayPal and he moved on to LinkedIn. And he made something which is now seen by Forbes as the most important website for getting connected up for furthering your business and your career. And that's, you know, that's something that he took into hand. If we examine Reid Hoffman a little closer, we look before LinkedIn, before PayPal, before SocialNet, we see the psychology of the man. He, in university, had decided to make an impact on the world. In fact, he talks about this. He had decided in university that no matter what he did, he wanted to make an impact on the world. He wanted to contribute on a big scale. He wanted to contribute to as many people, give as much value to the most people that he could. And he didn't quite see the way he could do that academically, so he moved into entrepreneurship. And that approach of contribution, that approach of giving, yes, you know, a lot of money came with it, and yes, a lot of fame and fortune came with it. But that approach of giving, that approach of contribution raised him up above social networks failure and allowed him to try again. It allowed him, it gave him the strength to move on and say, hold on a second, failure can actually help me move forward. Failure could actually be growth in my process of giving. And he definitely learned a lot from it, and he used his connections with SocialNet, and he used the remains of what he had there, and he learned from the experience and he moved on. And in the end, he created the right social network at the right time. And there's this approach in Silicon Valley, which is exactly his approach. Pete Cashmere talks about this as well, that nowadays in Silicon Valley, failure isn't seen as a massive problem in terms of taking someone on. If someone said, you know, I failed in a company, in my last company or in a, you know, in recent endeavors, it's seen actually as a notch on the CV. It's seen as like, well, you did something there, you've learned your lesson, now you've got more life experience. Actually, that's another reason to take you on. If you make your why bigger than yourself, you will grow bigger than yourself. If your why is big enough, the how is easy. The why, we talked about briefly about this idea in the first broadcast, but that why needs to be huge. Your why needs to be something which is beyond yourself, reaching out beyond yourself, way beyond. And that's going to carry you forward beyond yourself, because yourself won't matter so much anymore. Your ego won't matter so much anymore. And that's really the fear of failure. It's the fear of being vulnerable, that ego being smashed. And if you can get beyond yourself, if you can get onto the giving, if you can get onto, you know, really, you know, affecting others, and that's a mission for you, then you lose yourself in the process. And if you lose yourself in the process, then you're going to have the strength and the tenacity to rise above what you would have perceived as failures and start reframing it, start reframing them as growth and as stepping stones towards success. I've been learning juggling for the last few months, and I've been learning it from a CD, actually. One of the best, the top two jugglers in the world is on this CD. And he teaches it in different steps. He teaches juggling in different steps. His first lesson is the following. He takes the ball and he says, you know, take a ball in your hand, just like this, and then drop it. And you drop it and you hear the thud. And he says, get used to that sound, because you're going to be hearing it time and time again. And that sound is the sound of you moving forward. That sound is the sound of success, because the sound of success, oncoming success, is failure. It's the sound of the oncoming success train. And the only thing that happens is that some people get afraid of that sound and they leave the platform before the train arrives. And you've got to tune yourself into that sound and then allow yourself to see it as something which is a stepping stone, something which is going to take you forward. Alexa Von Tobel, she started LifeVest over in the United States. LifeVest is a massive corporation which started only 6 years ago. It basically helps people with their personal finances. And it gives people advice about their personal finances. She's grown it into a $100 million empire within 6 years. Her concept on mistakes is the following. If you're not making some mistakes, you're not pushing your boundaries. If you're not making some mistakes, you're not pushing your boundaries. And this is the same concept held by Thomas Watson. Thomas Watson died in 1956. He was the creator of IBM, and he took IBM to astounding levels. And there was a guy who was working for him who was quite high up, and unfortunately the guy made an error, and this guy lost $1 million for IBM. Now, just to put this into perspective, at an inflation rate of 1191.8%, if you add up all of inflation from 1945 through to 2013, that's 1191.8% inflation. That would mean that this $1 million was worth $13 billion equivalent at the time. So it was a bit of an error that this guy made, to say the least. And so obviously felt horrific, and he wrote a letter of resignation, and he brought this letter of resignation with a very heavy heart into Thomas Watson. And Thomas Watson took one look at the letter and he shouted at the guy. He said, I've just invested $1 million in your education. and you think I'm going to fire you. He had a different concept about failure. He saw that failure was a part of education, a part of growth. In fact, he had a motto that the way to succeed is to double your error rate. The way to succeed is to double your error rate, which completely turns this whole thing on its head. Growth. This is to do with growth, and it's to do with growth and development, and then ultimately the giving and the contribution that can happen as a result, whether it's to the company, whether it's the relationship, whether it's to the family, whether it's the community, whether it's to the nation, whether it's to the world. If there's growth in giving, then you're going to have that ability to fulfill the one of the most popular and, I think, healthy definitions of success, which is, you know, that, you know, success has been and continues to be defined as this idea of getting back up one more time than you've been knocked down. If you can continue doing that, eventually success is just going to come your way, but that in itself is success. Getting back up one more time than you've been knocked down. And that will give you the power, growth, and giving. Having that concept, that why that's beyond yourself, that allows you to lose yourself, that allows you to lose your ego, will allow you to get back up and keep going because there's something beyond yourself that you're doing it for, that you won't be afraid of failure because you might look bad, that you won't be afraid of failure because you're not looking the way that, you know, the world might think that you should look. Donald Trump says 90% of success is turning up. And, you know, to have the tenacity to turn up again and again and again. Now, I might have mentioned at one point the KFC guy, that KFC Kentucky Fried Chicken general who, you know, didn't just stop at 50 people trying to convince 50 people to take on his spices, didn't stop at 100, didn't stop at 1,000, but he kept going to 1,007 and someone then took on his spices and now KFC is all over the world. You've got to have something that's going to carry you forward. And if you're afraid of failure, that's going to be the opposite of what you need. And the only way to succeed is to have a completely turned upside down, paradoxical understanding of failure, that it is feedback, that it is something that's bringing you towards where you need to go. And this is seen in our biology. You know, when we go to the gym and we're pumping iron, it's failure that is success. You have to keep going until you fail. The objective is to fail. The objective is, that's why, you know, people are spotted in a gym when they're pushing up, you know, bench presses. They're spotted because in order to succeed in the gym, in order to grow the muscle, you have to go so far that you can't go any further and you fail. And that biological symbol is exactly how it is on a social level and on a business level as well. It's got to be that way, that you go all the way, that you can see that failure is actually success. Getting back up one more time, each time moving forward and seeing that you, this is just a part of a step on the way. We say, you know, opportunity dances with those who are on the dance floor, and failure is really one of the dance moves. It's part of the dance. It's part of the dance towards success. Einstein said, a person who never made a mistake never tried anything. He also said, it's not that I'm so smart, it's just that I stay with problems longer. He wasn't afraid of not knowing, of getting it wrong. It's the same as Edison, you know, that idea of, you know, failing again and again. Not afraid of that, because he had got himself into a state of flow. What's this state of flow? If you get into the state where giving and growth are exactly what you're all about, then you're going to get yourself into what I call the yes mode. The yes mode is that creative mode where you're in flow, you lose a sense of time, you lose a sense of self, and you need nothing else. You are all about that giving. The growth in itself needs to be giving. It needs to be part of just aiming towards giving. And if you are involved in giving, training people again, you know, with public speaking, and when they're afraid to get up for the first time, literally switching people's confidence level by switching them on to giving, by seeing public speaking forevermore from now on as giving. And people say, you know, I say to them, well, how would you feel speaking in front of 500 people? And they say, well, you know, in terms of confidence, maybe, I don't know, 3 out of 10. And then I say to them, well, close your eyes and imagine that you're giving to those people, that you are a man on a mission or a woman on a mission. You're aiming to give something special to these people. And these people need you, and you're contributing to their lives, and you're upgrading their lives in some way. Because ultimately, you shouldn't be public speaking if you haven't got something to give, something of value, right? If not, then you can sit down. And as soon as they click into that idea, people suddenly jump in terms of confidence, jump in terms of their ability to public speak. Because, you know, public speaking is really, you know, the ultimate in terms of fear of failure. You're right in front of it. It's a social, it's an intense social situation. All eyes are on you. And if that little failure comes out, what you're perceiving as failure is coming out, and you're going to, you know, feel whatever it is that you have set up in your mind. And if your focus is on giving to those other people and contributing to them, then you're going to be a person who's on a mission, a person who cares, a person who is beyond themselves and therefore not stuck in their own ego. In fact, they've lost all touch with that ego, and they're just in that flow of giving and creating, which is that wonderful place to be, a wonderful, powerful place to be. So let's wrap up here. What have we talked about? We've talked about quite a few things. I talked about this idea of how we need to switch the definition from, you know, those external definitions of success and failure towards those internal definitions, that great, huge why that is beyond you. Yeah, and that why is determined in terms of growth and in terms of giving. Remember the Reid Hoffman story, the creator of LinkedIn. He rose above what was perceived as a failure in 1997, Social Nest, and he ended up creating something absolutely fantastic, LinkedIn. And then we've got the stories about Thomas Watson, creator of IBM, and how he viewed what other people saw as failure. Alexa von Tobel, her concept of, you know, failure is very similar to Watson. This idea of, you know, doubling your error rate that Watson talks about, that is the way to succeed. We need to turn it completely upside down and start realizing that failure is the sound of the oncoming train of success. Just stay on the platform a little bit longer, get back up, keep going, and that concept of failure actually being success in the gym, that's crucial. You've got to stick with it, and you've got to keep getting back up there and keep moving forward. You've got to have that right notion in your mind, that right concept, the right definition to keep moving forward. Just to finish off on some practical steps you can take, there's just a few different things that you can take away from here to actually put straight into your life. First of all, try and get yourself into a mode of not only celebrating your successes, but also celebrating your failures. That sounds weird, but you've got to turn it upside down. You've got to really buy into Thomas Watson's concept that doubling the success rate is actually a sign of that success. It is the path to succeeding, because you've got to push your boundaries. If you're not making those mistakes, you're not pushing your boundaries. Find the story that you have in your own head about success and change it. Find that story that is, you know, pulling you back, and switch it. A very simple switch involves injecting giving into there, into that story. You know, where does growth and giving fit into it? Have you got that concept of something bigger than yourself? Or do your goals stop at yourself? If they stop at yourself, then you're going to be worried about your own ego if something goes wrong. And then if it goes wrong, it's going to have this bad effect on you. And then it works in this cycle where you're afraid to move forward and try again. So go beyond yourself. The bigger your why is, the bigger you're going to get to grow. And then start doing those things that you're afraid of. Fear can actually be a blessing. fear is an indicator of where growth is possible. Growth needs, by very definition, pain. There needs to be some element of pain involved, but some element of discomfort to grow beyond your boundaries. There needs to be that tension. And fear is part of that tension. It's an indicator for you to move towards something and start something. So fear can actually be a blessing in this sense, but keep it under wraps so that it's not overwhelming you, and make sure that your definitions are correct. And then finally, take a look back on what it is that you would have perceived as a failure in the past, and start redefining. Start redefining in your mind what is a failure and what is a success, and start actually looking at what you perceived as failures before and attaching growth and giving into those moments of your life. Start attaching growth and giving into your story, which came from those moments. How did I grow from it? How am I a better person now because of those things? And then you'll redefine how you're going to look at failure in the future. So, wishing you all the success in the world, but real deep success that's going to take you beyond you. That's the success connected with giving and growth. See you next time. I look forward to you tuning in to the next Transform Your Life in 30 Minutes. That's in 2 weeks' time. Looking forward.